Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August. Before you head out, grab a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers so you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeve shirt or light blanket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights with a clear view all around the horizon. Don't know about you, but I can't imagine August without thinking about the annual Perseid meteor shower. This is the time when you'll see many more shooting stars than usual. The Perseids have a fairly sharp peak, which this year is forecast for about 4 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on August 13th. What luck! That's exactly the time when, geometrically speaking, you'd see the most meteors in the sky even if there weren't a shower going on. So having the peak in the hours before dawn is a real bonus. And it's new moon, too, so moonlight won't spoil the view. When the Perseids peak, you early risers, or late stayer-uppers, might see at least one meteor per minute in the hours after midnight. Some Perseids do appear in the evening, once the constellation of Perseus rises over the northeastern horizon, but they're always better from about 11 or midnight until the first light of dawn. If it's cloudy on August 13th, you'll still see some Perseids the night before or afterward. For a long time, no one knew what the Perseids were. Some Catholics believed that these meteors were the burning tears of St. Lawrence, who was martyred in Rome on August 10th in the year 258. Fast forward to 1837, when a Connecticut bookstore clerk named Edward Herrick saw lots of meteors on the night of August 9th. Herrick later concluded that these occur every year on the same date. It turns out that John Locke, the headmaster of a girls' school in Cincinnati, had reached the same conclusion 3 years earlier. In any case, today we know that the Perseid meteors are really bits of debris shed by a comet called Swift-Tuttle. Earth passes near the comet's orbit every August, and that's when tiny flecks, most the size of sand grains, slam into our atmosphere at 37 miles per second. All of this happens quite high above us, about 60 miles up. Each incoming particle compresses the air in front of it, like water just ahead of a speedboat, and that creates a white-hot shockwave along the particle's path. The flash of light our eyes see is that brief but brilliant shockwave, not the particle itself burning up. Sadly, I'm not the early riser I used to be, so let's head to the evening sky and concentrate on those stars. Note where the sun sets and turn to your left, toward south. As the twilight darkens, look above the southern horizon for Saturn. These past few months we've gotten spoiled by the brightness of Venus and Jupiter over in the west. Well, Saturn is dimmer, more subtle. To the lower left of Saturn, a bit more than the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length, is the star Antares. It's a little dimmer than Saturn and has a slightly reddish color. Antares marks the heart of Scorpius, and the head of this critter is marked by a vertical arc of three medium-bright stars halfway between Antares and Saturn. Here in the northern hemisphere, the closer you live to the equator, the higher up you'll see the Scorpion in the sky. Those of you in the southern states, like Texas and Florida, have much better views than I do way up here in Massachusetts. Shift your gaze to the left of Antares by a bit more than two fists away. You're looking for a group of eight medium-bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left, and the spout, tipped down a bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your clenched fist. From northern states in Europe, the teapot is only one or two fists above the horizon, so it helps if you look from a spot with a clear, unobstructed view toward the south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you found the main stars of the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer. And you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see what look like puffs of steam rising from the spout of that teapot. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continue upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. And if you're unlucky enough to live where light pollution is rampant, which is most of us, you can't see the Milky Way at all. In fact, ask yourself, have you ever seen the Milky Way in all its glory? If not, you really owe it to yourself to get under a clear, deep black sky this time of year to see all those stars streaming, to see all those stars arcing across the sky like a great river of light. It's a sight you won't soon forget. Now do an about-face so that you're facing roughly north. As twilight fades, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up in the sky. At the end of the handle are four stars forming its bowl. Your outstretched fist will just cover the bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow it up and to the right by about three fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and now you're looking due north. Go back to the Dipper, and this time follow the arc of its handle to the left until, three fists away, you come to a bright star. That's Arcturus. It's the fourth brightest star in the nighttime sky. As stars go, this one isn't much bigger or brighter than our own sun, but it's relatively close by, just 37 light-years away. Arcturus is a Greek name meaning guardian of the bear, for the Big Bear, the constellation Ursa Major, which includes the Big Dipper. It's also the alpha star in the constellation Boötes, the plowman. Let's say that one together. Boötes, got it? It's from the Greek words for plow and ox. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the summer triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.